This weekend begins a great movement towards the peak experience for the community of the Christian faith. That's Easter. This is also kind of a spoiler alert for what is coming up. So today, Jesus asks a woman for water, and she is the one who ends up receiving a spring of eternal life for her spiritual thirst. Next week, a man born blind asks to see and ends up seeing that Jesus is the Messiah. Lazarus dies after that, and Jesus weeps openly before raising him back to life. Then Jesus offers a Passover sacrifice, first with bread and wine, and then in his own blood. But our story begins today with some desert stories and being thirsty. I have just one little joke for the kids. The question is, what should you take on a trip to the desert? And the answer is, a thirst aid kit. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Four men were adrift on a lifeboat in the Atlantic, and they were trying to wring out drops of water from pieces of canvas so as not to die of thirst. The rescuers told them that they could have just cupped their hands in the ocean and drank fresh water. In that location, the Amazon River put out so much fresh water that into the ocean that even miles from shore, it was drinkable. If only they had known how easily their thirst could have been satisfied. The Israelite people had already complained to Moses once about food, and they had already been given manna for the morning and the quail for meat in the evenings. Yet they were quite the drama queens with their complaints. Why did you bring us out of Egypt where there was water? Did you bring us out here to kill us? Is God with us or not? Moses, what are you going to do about it? It's a good thing none of us would complain like that, isn't it? If only they had known how easily their thirst could have been satisfied. The psalmist says about God, at Meribah and Massah, they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Couldn't we sometimes say, when at Calgary and at Lethbridge, they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works? Not ignoring Airdrie or Cochrane. The people were used to the gods of the land that they had left. Their first thought was that when there was any stress, like being thirsty, was to go back to slavery and to the gods that they had. Those gods had certain characteristics, but you couldn't really depend on them to do what you think that they would. And even though the God of all being had brought them out of slavery, they had no concept of a God who is true to his word, who acts justly, who guarantees covenant with his people. I don't suppose I ever turn away from God to the gods of the things of this world to satisfy my thirst. Well, yes, I do. But instead, those people could imagine this God tricking them into going out into the wilderness to kill them all. And Moses was the spokesperson of this God, so he was the target of their bitter complaints. They blamed Moses and God. And if we thought about it long enough, we might remember how Adam, when God confronted him about whether he had eaten the forbidden fruit, said, "The woman you gave me," you know her, "she gave it to me and I ate." So in the desert, we kind of hear an echo of why intimacy with God has been lost and why we needed a savior. We blame each other and we blame God for our failures and for our discomforts. More than 1,000 years later, Jesus was sitting by himself at a well. He asks a woman for a drink. Strange, isn't it? Couldn't he have gotten it for himself? But Jesus has something else in mind for her. It's the opening of a conversation that he wants to have with us. Jesus needed water like everyone, but he didn't become our nature for water. He came for us. He's thirsty for us. The woman in this story is key because she is us. Let's look at how she comes to God step by step. She answers his request with the wisdom of the world. "Why are you asking me for a drink? Jewish men don't talk to Samaritan women." After all, she's a member of a hated race, avoided at all costs. Actually, they had avoided each other for centuries of animosity. But instead of an answer, she gets an invitation. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. She's intrigued now. She wants to know more about him. And still thinking about water, she wonders if he might know of a source of moving water, which is way better than stagnant water from a well. That image always reminds me of a cat that we had and how much he loved to drink from the tap when it was running, or even the toilet when it was flushed, because that water is alive, it gushes. But Jesus tells her about water that won't just satisfy thirst in a temporary way. It's a big jump from the natural to the supernatural, from the temporary to the eternal, from the physical to the spiritual, from the lower to the higher, and from the darker to the fullness of light. The one who drinks of the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life, he says. Can you almost feel the movement of her heart as she asks herself, could he be the one? In a quiet place, in a thirsty desert, there's a stirring of the thirst for God, for the one who is beyond wells and deserts and ordinary thirsts and satisfactions. This is the movement of baptism. This is the pouring of water that the church fathers called the illumination, because it floods the soul with supernatural light. And the woman begins to think more about God. Where should we worship him? She asks Jesus. Not in a place, he answers, but in spirit, in your spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and in the truth of who you are and who God is and what God wants to accomplish in you. Up the steps of conversion, she asks about the Messiah. He answers, I am the one who is speaking to you. As crazy as a notion as that is, the stirring in her becomes a great and profound hope, a gushing of living water in her. We are not alone. We have not been abandoned. God loves her and has a plan for her life. And then the key symbol of transformation, we might almost miss it. Before she goes to her town, she leaves the water jar. She got it. Not that water is not important, but she can leave behind that concern, at least for the moment, for a greater one, her salvation and the salvation of her whole town. The man who was just Sir to her at the beginning, who became prophet to her, then Christ, is now for her the Savior of the world. After the encounter with Jesus, she is so transformed that she converts the town and they come to believe. Wouldn't it be amazing if people could see that kind of transformation in us? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could pour out cups of living water gushing up in us? So we might ask, what is it we're really thirsting for? I see myself over and over again, sometimes during the day, going to the refrigerator and the pantry, dozens of times some days. Only occasionally do I stop and say, what's going on here? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? And the answer is usually no. But I'm looking for something. And then I realize that this is a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst. It's the thirst for living water so that I can be truly satisfied. There probably will be a next time that we think, God, have you just brought me here to kill me? Paul says, hold on to the hope that does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. There probably will be a next time when we ask, is the Lord with us or not? Listen to what we hear today from the book of Exodus. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. From the Psalm, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. From the letter to the Romans, while we were still sinners or enemies of God, Christ died for us. From the Gospel of John, I am he, the Messiah, the one who is speaking to you. What about today? What about us, brothers and sisters? While the world is so thirsty, wrapped up in complaints from jealousy, anxiety, and darkness, Jesus is waiting by the well for us to come by with our worldly concerns. Jesus is speaking to you today. Will you drink of the living water he is offering you today? Come to Jesus. Come to the water.